The story of Lazarus is an interesting story because it harkens back to the Old Testament. It harkens forward to Jesus' death, and it is just absolutely centered in what was going on politically at that time. See, what's interesting about this story is that it takes place close to Passover, one of the highest holy days on the Jewish calendar. This happens right before Jesus crosses into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and thus starts his final week here on earth. So, at this time period, as I've said many, many times before, Jerusalem and Judea in the nation of Israel was under Roman occupation. Rome was enormous. It had vast, vast amounts of power that spanned three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. And it kept the peace by occupying nations with a military that was unsurpassed in its might. So at any given time when you are walking around Jerusalem, you might see little battalions of Roman soldiers walking around just to intimidate people, just to keep them from doing anything. And as High Holy Days approached, the officials tended to get really, really nervous because in Jerusalem during High Holy Days, that's when everyone came in from out of town to come to the temple. So there were more people than usual. People were more crowded. People were more restless, if you will. There was less space to move, fewer places to stay. And everyone had to come to observe the High Holy Day and to pay their taxes to the temple, which were expensive and exploitative. And because they had to work through the money changers to get their change, to change from Roman coin to Jewish coin, they were then exploited even more by having to pay an enormous interest rate on those exchanges. And so people tended to be a little more agitated during these high holy days. So this was the context of what was happening when Jesus resurrected Lazarus. And this was a time as they're approaching Passover that the officials didn't really necessarily want people to remember what Passover was about. In fact, the last thing you wanted people to remember was what Passover was about. Do you remember what Passover was about? It was about Moses leading the people to rise up against Egypt, the great empire of that time, and led them out of slavery and oppression into their own land where they could own their own land and be their own people and rule themselves. And God was instrumental in that. And God put down the empire and lifted up the oppressed people. And they didn't really want them thinking about that during Passover because they might see how the Bible was relevant to their own situation in that time period. Do you see how dangerous that is? Okay. So, years ago, you know the history of Thanksgiving? It started during the Civil War, 1863. Abraham Lincoln, amidst all of the Civil War, realized that the people were downtrodden, realized that the people were suffering, realized how weary the nation was growing, and so decided to implement a day of Thanksgiving, remembering the pilgrims, but also to give thanks to what he attributed to God's blessings that we were failing to notice during this dark time. And he started calling out little bits of hope and noticing things to be grateful for so that the nation could come together in unity and in hope to remember their founding fathers and to remember the great Father, God above all of us. And that's how Thanksgiving got started. And it was held the very last Thursday in November. That's when he decided to do it. Did you know that? The last Thursday in November. So we have to ask, what happened? How did we get from the last Thursday in November to the second to last, which is what we have now? So, what's also interesting about this story with Lazarus is that there's all of these references back to Moses. It's like Jesus wants to make the Passover point a couple of times. He wants to make it and then make it again and then make it again. Because right before he comes to Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus live, he had crossed the River Jordan to go away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is to the west of the River Jordan. So he had gone across the River Jordan because people were starting to get upset with him. He went to have a little respite, to have a little safety. And then right before he enters Jerusalem, he crosses the River Jordan into the Promised Land, comes to raise Lazarus, and then very shortly after goes to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Remember what happened with the people after they were liberated from Egypt? They spent a long time wandering in the wilderness in the east and then crossed the River Jordan to come to Jerusalem. Jesus did not do that accidentally. He did not have to cross across the River Jordan and then make his triumphant entry by crossing again into Jerusalem, into the Promised Land. It was deliberate. It was deliberate. He was making a point. He was helping people to remember the God that liberated them, to remember how Moses saved them, to remember the promise that had been given them to be their own sovereign nation that could rule themselves in peace and harmony, so much so that they would be a light to all nations. And just to make that point one more time, Lazarus, the name Lazarus, do you know what the name Lazarus goes back to? It's a short version. It's a nickname for Eleazar. Eleazar was Aaron's brother. He was the one, after the people crossed into the Promised Land, that distributed the land to the people so that every single person got their own plot that they could farm on, that they could work on. All of the nations had their own territory so that they could live and thrive on their own land. So, 1920s, Great Depression hits. Remember the Great Depression? How many people actually lived through the Great Depression? Really? My grandfather did. He's still with us. So the Great Depression hit. Now, why did the Great Depression hit? We remember that the Great Depression hit. We remember how bad it was. We've learned about it in our history books. It hit because the banks were exploiting people, got too big to fail, there were no regulations, and people lost everything when they went under. You remember this? Yeah. So the banks got too big to fail, and everybody lost all their money. Everybody lost all their money. They lost their homes. They lost their livelihoods. The entire country hit such an economic low that it took about 20 years to pull out of it, really. And to some degree, we are still experiencing the effects of that. So it was around that time that Thanksgiving was moved 1 week earlier. Yeah, it was moved from the fourth Thursday to the third Thursday in November. So when we see this story of Lazarus, did you notice anything familiar in this story? Besides the fact that you've probably heard it or heard of it before, is there anything that you noticed? A guy in a tomb, everybody thinks he's been dead for several days. They roll back the stone. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Is this sounding familiar? Yes, Jesus is foreshadowing his own death. Jesus is letting people know, if it can happen with Lazarus, it can happen with me too. God is bigger than death. God is bigger than this. God is bigger than disease. God is bigger than all the government that tells you that this can't happen, that I'm not real. That none of you should believe in the power of something bigger than them. So when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, this is as much a political act as it is a miracle. And what's interesting is that it's ironic in itself. This is a carnival tale. Everything gets turned on its head, topsy-turvy, by the end. The dead come back to life. The living are about to die. Things that people thought would happen don't happen, and things that people think should not happen, happen. It's political because it reminds people at a very key time during the season of Passover what Passover is really about. It's not about paying a temple tax to corrupt leaders. It's not about tiptoeing around Roman soldiers who are gallivanting around your city and out to harm you. It's about a remembering a God who liberates, a God who promised the people of Israel a land to call their own, a God who brings us out of oppression, slavery, and death into community, a promised land, and life. It was a miracle because amidst the great tragedy, God gives us hope. The scripture tells us that Jesus was greatly disturbed. We don't often hear about Jesus expressing emotions. He does it very rarely in the scriptures. That doesn't mean he didn't feel them, but for them to record it, it had to be pretty pronounced because they only record it a couple of times. It says not only that he was greatly disturbed in his spirit, but as he saw Mary dissolve into tears and then Martha dissolve into tears and then all of the Jews who had come to visit them break down and weep, he was so moved that he starts to weep. That's a compassionate God. Amidst great sadness, God grieves with us. And this is an ironic story because it was in raising Lazarus that Jesus caused his own death. Lazarus was the straw that broke the camel's back because he was a living testament to what Jesus could do. And he walked around telling everybody about it. And every time someone saw him, they'd say, oh yeah, that's that guy that Jesus raised from the dead. Oh yeah, that's Lazarus. Remember him? You know what I heard about him? Jesus raised him from the dead. And so as soon as word got out that he did this, that's when the temple officials stopped playing softball and started playing hardball. And they said, you know what we're going to do? Let's start spreading rumors around the people that this guy needs to die to save the state. It's in the state's best interest if he just goes away. Let's start telling people why it's important that he be that person that's going to save us all by going away. And it's great irony on two levels, because on the first hand, if Jesus had never saved Lazarus' life, he might not have died. And at the same time, what they wanted to do involuntarily, he walked into and absolutely upended all their plot. Because he went willingly to make a sacrifice to end death entirely. So, around 1939, President Roosevelt was looking at the effects of the Great Depression that were still haunting people. He was trying to figure out what to do to jumpstart the economy. He tried a bunch of things, and they had worked to some degree. But then he started talking to a certain guy, the head of Federated Department Store, which is now known as Macy's. You know what this guy's name was? He was the one that convinced Roosevelt to move Thanksgiving 1 week earlier, because he was convinced that if they could move it 1 week earlier, people would have more time to shop, which would jumpstart the economy. If they just had one more week, that's what we need to focus on. We don't need to focus on banking regulations. We don't need to focus on getting people jobs. Now would be a very inconvenient time for people to remember what Christmas and Thanksgiving are really about. You don't want to remind them of that. What you want to do is let them know that if they just shop for one more week, all those businesses will get more money. You couple that with an incredible advertising campaign because television was coming into prevalence in people's homes. And woo, salvation for the entire United States. You know what this guy's name was? This is the most ironic part of all. Fred Lazarus Jr. Fred Lazarus Jr. convinced Roosevelt to do this, and 2 years later it went through Congress and became a national holiday on the third Thursday. Third Thursday. So, as we remember those who came before us and what they taught us and the kind of world they wanted for us, do you think about that? People generations before you had big hopes for what your world would be like for you, what your lives would be like for you. My grandmother, who died before my youngest brother was born, who none of my cousins ever got to meet, had big hopes for what the world would look like. She had such a big heart. My mother, whenever her name comes up, she turns to all of us and she says, it is so sad that she never got to see you guys grow up, because she would have thought you were the cat's pajamas. She would have loved unconditionally, championed us and cheered us on in everything that we did, and wanted to build a world that was safe, where we all had a promised land, where we all had unconditional love, where we all remembered that God is a great God of liberation and salvation and life. And so today, as we remember those who came before us, remember what they wanted for us. Remember the things that they did to set into motion the world that we have now, the lives that we live now. Unconditional love, lessons about character and gratitude, lessons about hard work and service, giving to one another and sharing. We're seeing signs of hope because this year, for the first year, we're seeing really large corporations start to get out of the Black Friday trend. Did you hear that REI is forcing all of its employees to take the day off and paying them for it so they can go out into nature? And where do so many people find God? In nature. When they see God's glory, when they see this glorious natural world around us, the mountains, the rivers, the streams, the trees, the big skies, the deserts, they find God. They are shoving people out the door. And I wonder how many of them, forced not to work and sell and make as much money as possible the day after Thanksgiving at 12:01 a.m. Remember what the true spirit of Christmas is about, that a man came to teach us a better path where we share, where we love unconditionally, where we help those that are the most vulnerable, and where we work to build a world for ourselves and for our children long after we've gone, where everyone has enough, everyone lives in peace, and everyone knows the love of God. I invite you now to come forward. We have a table set with candles. I invite you to light a candle for your loved one. There are plenty of candles. Light as many as you need. And as you do so, remember the promise we have been given in God, the promises that Jesus left us, and the legacy that was left for you, and how you continue to live it out today. Can I get an amen to that? I invite you all to come forward.